All right. Well, welcome to this last afternoon for this conference. It has been pretty exciting, and it is my pleasure to talk to you about the column store technology. This was a technology we introduced in SQL Server 2012. And on that note, I wanted to find out how many of you have used column store technology or aware of that. Just show me your hands. So I see approximately 30% of you know about column store technology. So we had that technology introduced in SQL Server in 2012, and it has been a very successful technology for data warehouse space. And we invested a lot in SQL 2014, and this is the talk, what we have done in 2014. And this is something we will continue to invest in the next release. So whatever you learn, whatever your scenarios are, you are most welcome to send me your feedback, the kind of scenarios that you are interested in, because with your feedback, the next release of SQL Server will be even better, because it will introduce the new enhancements to the technology, and if it solves your problem, that's success to us. Okay. So what I'll do is, since only 30% of you know about column store technology, it says deep dive, I'm going to do a mix of a high level to bring everybody on the same page, and then do a little bit of deep down into what's going on behind the scenes, so you should get both flavors in. So session objectives are, we'll give you a technology overview of column store in general. When I say column store, I mean the column store technology that is available in SQL Server, both in 12 and in 14. And then we will dive into what changes, improvements we have made in 2014. And I'm going to show you the results with those improvements, both in terms of compression as well as query performance, and also concurrency. This is something very important, because a data warehouse scenario typically has, of course, you want to run a lot of queries that is scanning large amount of data. When I say large, I'm talking about terabytes, okay? So that's the kind of scenario we're talking about. While you are loading and reading those data, you also have like a data that is getting loaded, because in many cases, you want to have a workload, data warehouse workload, where you're doing the queries, but the data is coming in. It's a trickle insert or nightly insert and things like that. So what we want to do is to be able to query the data as it comes without causing any latency. And this is a scenario that we focus very heavily on in SQL Server 2014. So the flavor that was available in 2012 was non-clustered column store index. That was a non-cluster index that you could create on a OLTP table. But what we are providing with 2014 is the clustered column store index. Just remember that distinction. And it gives you both the performance benefit, query performance, and a extreme compression. And you will see how. Now, why this is more important? This is actually a study done by TDWI on the data warehouse for the future. What you see on the red is what you will see for data warehouse in 3 years, and blue shows what is there today. So if you look at, they surveyed many companies that use data warehouse, and what they found was approximately 41% people have a data warehouse that is under 1 terabyte. Can you show me by raising your hands how many of you have data warehouse under 1 terabyte? So it is like 40%, but this is pretty much matching up with the survey that we have done. However, I'm sure your data warehouse needs are gonna grow, because data is coming in and tables are databases are growing. So what the survey said, 3 years from now, only 17% will have a data warehouse under 1 terabyte. That means it'll be larger. And I'm just going to jump to the bottom, which is more than 10 terabytes. What we are seeing or expecting is more than 34% customers will have data warehouses over 10 terabytes. So that's the scenario we are targeting SQL Server 2014 for. And as I said, we will continue to invest in this technology. So when you look at SQL Server 2014 today, we have many in-memory technologies. You of course know about the in-memory OLTP. We have had a lot of sessions on that. That can give you approximately 5 to 20x performance gains. We have seen customers with 30x gains, but it is primarily suited for OLTP workload, not data warehouse in 2014. What column store index provides you is a order of magnitude better query performance for data warehouse workloads. Okay, so there are two different things. If you want high performance for OLTP, you go with in-memory OLTP. If you want high throughput, high performance for your data warehouse, you go with column store. And the third thing, which we had a session a couple of days ago, is the buffer pool extension. That is, again, targeted for OLTP workload. And so essentially the thing is, we are investing heavily in in-memory technologies, be it for OLTP or data warehouse in general, right? So we want to cover everything. So this is pretty much what they're suited for. So now I want to switch gear and go deeper into what column store technology architecture is, okay? This is very high level, and hopefully this will give you a background to understand why we see so much better compression and why we see so much better query performance, okay? So this shows a table which consists of multiple pages. This is a page, and then you are storing rows into those pages, right? This is the traditional row store with disk-based tables that you know, right? Now, this has been a very successful storage format. I mean, we have it since 1992, customer workloads, both OLTP and data warehouse, have been running very successfully. Now, what has changed? What has changed is the amount of data that people are putting into databases today, right? And also the kind of latency requirement they have. Customer want huge amount of data, but they want queries to run much, much faster, right? So the row store, from that angle, has achieved a plateau where it is hard to go beyond certain point. So researchers, this is not something, a technology that Microsoft invented. Microsoft adopted this technology. The column store came out from research papers. So what column store says, instead of storing the data in row format, why don't we store the data in the column format? Okay, so just almost like you turn thing like 90 degrees. And what you have here is that you have five column table here. So I'm gonna store data in the column format, all right? And of course, if I want to get a row, because if I want to get, say, select C1 comma C2, I need to make sure the column that I pick and the value that I pick are from the same row, right? Because it makes no sense to give you C1 from column, like a row 1, and C2 from row 2. So of course, there has to be some logic to join corresponding columns together to make the right row, right? So this is what the column store is. And what it does is, the column store gives you a much, much better compression. And I'll give you an example why. But a very simple example is, right, suppose I have a table which has employee city, right? Now, a lot of employees are in Houston, right? So if I was compressing on the column Houston, you can imagine if I had 1,000 employees in a table, all those things have the same value, so I can compress it much, much better, right? So columns, because they are the same domain, and almost they have the similar values, we can compress that much better. So if you compress at a column level rather than the row level, the amount of compression that you can get is much higher. We have seen a common case is 10 times better compression. Okay, so that kind of compression you are seeing. Now, because you compress, you get fewer IOs, right? When you want to read the data, IOs are not as many, number one. Second benefit of column store is, you need to fetch only the columns that are referenced in your query, right? So imagine this, right? If you have 100 column row, and I say, give me this is my predicate, and it gets back 20 rows. Now, if I was only interested in column C1, in row store, you cannot tell SQL Server or Oracle or DB2, just get me column 1. Because it is row store, it has to get all the columns into memory, even though you're not interested in column 2 through 100, it gets everything, right? So that means it is amount of IO that you need to do for column store is much less. Of course, depends on the query, right? If you have a very wide query, it's not much benefit from that angle. But if you have a narrow query, which is fewer columns, you get a lot more benefit. So, and of course, because it is compressing much better, the chances are when you do the query again, data is in physical memory, there is no I/O, right? So you see the basic benefit. So you can see the benefit from a compression perspective, you see the benefit from the query performance perspective, right? Very, very powerful. So what we have done, and this is how we adopted the technology. This is where the implementation comes, right? Column store, as I said, is something that was done in the research. People have the technology. Question really is how well you adopt the technology to solve customer problems. And this is what I'm going to talk about, right? So here, what you have in a column store, you have, of course, data stored as columns. And what we do is we break the number of rows in chunk of 1 million rows, okay? That's our goal. So instead of, suppose I have 20 million row table, we can break it into chunks of 1 million, so 20 chunks. And then within each chunk, there are columns, right? So this is the column, the blue things that you see is a column. So these chunks are called, in Microsoft SQL Server, row groups. So you have one or more row groups for a table that has column compression on. Okay, that's row group. Second thing that we have is the segment. So within each row group, you have columns, right? In this case, I have C1 through C6. So each column is called, stored in a segment. So essentially, in this case, I have column C5, which has potentially 1 million values, right? Distinct values, but chances are a lot of values are common, right? So what we do is we compress the segment. So each column, so I'm going to use the word segment now. So each segment, when I say segment, you mean one row group, one particular column, right? Each segment is compressed independently, okay? So you can see for row group one, if I have 5 columns, how many segments I have? I have 5 segments. And I'm going to compress each of those segments independently, okay? And then the engine, SQL engine, when I say select something and predicate, it will combine, those segments to give you a cohesive rows that consist of the predicate that satisfies your query. Now, as I said, segments are individually compressed, and what we did was, once you compress it, right, how do you store it, right? If you think about in-memory OLTP, we had a very different storage format. But for column store technology, we leveraged the lob columns. Like the way the lobs, the text image is stored in Microsoft SQL Server, we are just storing the compressed image of a segment as a lob, okay? Because compressed is just a binary, right? Just being stored as that. Now, one key benefit is, even though it is in-memory technology, you don't have to have everything about column store in memory to be able to query it, because it can, depending on what query you're running, it will fetch the data into buffer pool, because lob columns are buffer pool. They come into pages. So it's like 8K pages that are coming into the buffer pool, right? So that's how it is stored. So it is driven based on the demand. And if you, of course, have 10 terabyte table, and say we compress to 1 terabyte, and you have 256 gigabyte buffer pool, there's no requirement that everything has to fit in memory, right? It's just demand driven. Any questions so far? Sounds good. Okay. So I'll just take a very simple example, okay, walk you through this one, okay? So here, you see a typical fact table. Fact table, the reason I'm bringing that up is in a data warehouse scenarios, fact table are the fact tables, right? They're really, really big. Dimension tables are not that big, right? So what we have seen in a common case, people do column compression on the fact table, okay? This is some data about the fact table. Now here, if I was supposed to compress using page compression is a very valid option. In fact, a lot of data warehouses use page compression. On that note, let me ask anybody using page compression for their data warehouse. I see like 5 to 10 people raising their hands. So the thing is, page compression gives you 2 to 3x compression. In fact, in some cases, it can give you up to 10x compression, depending on the data, right? So here, let me talk about page compression, right? So this red thing that I've shown here, it is not a row group. I'm just trying to make a point here. So if I compress this page and assume these are the 3 rows that were going to fit on that page, right? Now, if I look at the order date key, notice that all these five rows that are spread over two pages in this example that I'm showing have the same value. But page compression could not take advantage of same data that is there in the previous page, for example, right? So what I'm saying is when I go to page 2, when I compress it, this date will show up again because page compression is limited to that page, right? Now, if I reverse that and I say if I was going to store each column individually and I'm going to compress, then of course here if you look at the column 1, I have this date repeated 5 times, this repeated like 4 times and 9, right? You can imagine now, I have only 3 distinct values, so I can compress it much, much better, right? So that's one key. So then we break that. This is exactly what SQL Server does, breaks it into groups of 1 billion rows. Now, when I say 1 billion rows, there are many, many factors about that, but in commonly you will see 1 million rows per row group, okay? So we break that into million rows, then we break them into columns, right? Because we need to create segments, and then we compress them. Now, what I showed intentionally here is the sizes are all different. And what it is trying to show is the compression that you will gain or get from a segment will depend on the column type and also on the data in that column, right? If I take the same column across multiple row groups, right? So I'm taking same column across multiple row groups, you will get different compression. Make sense? Right. So that's what it is. So now let's talk about query performance, right? So basically what you have now, you have a table, you created compressed column store on it, and now I want to do a query, right? In this query, what you see is select product key, and I'm doing a sum on sales based on some date. It's a very, very simple query, and I'm sure in your data warehouse, queries are much, much more complex, but this is just to show the key point, all right? So here, the thing to note is that I'm only interested in column product key, sales amount, and the order date key. So if I was running on a cold system, just give me a second. If I'm running on a cold system, there's nothing in the buffer pool. When I run this query, unlike row store where all these columns will be read, I only need to read these three columns, right? Question. Right. So the question really is, because we are storing the data in the column store, is there any changes we need to do for how we load the data? Answer is no. This is fully integrated with your bulk import, all those commands. It is the job of SQL Server to read the rows and then break it up into these things. So you don't have to have, in fact, we give you a very comparable bulk load performance with column store, all right? So it is clear here that we don't need to fetch these columns, right? Now, other interesting thing is it says the date is less than this date, right? So based on that, I can figure out that this row group, right? In this example, I'm showing you two row groups, first row group and the second row group. So it knows for each segment. So I'm looking at an order key. It is saying order date key. So think of this, right? Suppose I had 1,000 row groups. So when SQL Server is processing this query, it says, okay, your order key was less than this date. It knows for each segment of that column which segments will have rows meeting that predicate, okay, in the metadata. So what happens is it does not have to read every segment to find which segment will have qualifying rows. So in this example, what it does is it finds out only one row group will meet my criteria. So all it needs to read is this segment, and this segment. You see that? So based on the segment information, it knows which segment to eliminate. So segment elimination is actually a very important point because imagine this, right? If you have a very, very large table, if you cannot eliminate any segment, you have to read all those segments, right? And then you have to search through those. So segment elimination is a key. So this is a key benefit that you can do column elimination as well as segment elimination to get much, much better performance. Any questions on that? Because this is a very important concept. Yes, sir. Right, so the question is, do we bring up when we start the query, like the first query that I showed, what happens? Interesting thing is that like the predicate is on order date key, right? So we have a meta information, almost like a catalog information, which tells me which row groups will meet this criteria in metadata without even bringing the segment into buffer pool. And once I know that, I just bring those guys. So IO is at the segment level, and we only bring those segments that are needed. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. So now we get very good compression. Of course, we are only picking the columns that we need. We also went ahead and did one more optimization. This is unique to SQL Server, and this slide is to show the rationale for this. So, if you think of a SQL Server query processing, it is row-based. What it means is, let's say if I'm doing a join between two tables, table T1 and table T2. The way join works is, you fetch a row from table T1, right? Then you figure out, is it matching with any row on the second table? If the match happens, it sends a row to the next operator, right? So it is row at a time processing, right? So here, what I'm trying to show is, suppose I was going to scan a table, table T1, where certain predicate is satisfied. This is what the example was in the previous thing that I was showing you. So it fetches the row and then applies the predicate to that row. And if the row predicate succeeds, it sends the row to the next operator, okay? Now, let me go back to the previous example just to make this point very, very clear. So here, I did the segment elimination, right? In this case, I'm gonna go and search this segment. Not all the rows in that segment may qualify this predicate. You see what I'm saying? Only a subset of rows will qualify, right? So what this predicate is showing is that row comes here, I'm gonna do predicate matching, and if it satisfies, I give it back to the customer. Or if this predicate is part of a bigger query, it goes to the next operator, and that's how the data moves, right? It's row at a time. So what we have done with, actually this was done even with SQL Server 12, we do batch processing. Have you heard of batch processing with SQL Server? I see a couple of hands, but this is actually a very, very important concept. The same thing, scan and predicate. So here what we do, instead of reading one row at a time, we read up to 900 rows at a time. So I'm just gonna go back to my previous example where one row group was qualifying, which has 1 million rows, right? What SQL Server will do, it will read 1,000 rows at a given time, okay, approximately. And then it will read those rows and give it to the predicate evaluator. What predicate evaluator is doing, it is gonna say, okay, which rows qualify for this predicate? And what it is doing is, this object, which has columns C1, C2, C3, whatever those, in this case, C1, C10, C14, it marks here in a bitmap that these rows do not qualify. Okay? Or it could be reversed. These rows qualify, right? Point is, it says these are the rows that qualify, right? Now, the next operator gets this whole buffer, and it basically does more predicate selection. And then ultimately, the rows are generated. There is no extra copying going on. We create this, I want to call this like a batch. The batch has 900 rows, for example. And essentially, this batch is flowing up to the operators, right? So now the benefit is, when you do this way, there is no copying of the data, right? We're just copying once, which is good. But it reduces the overhead of calls. Imagine this, right? If I was doing 1,000 rows, one row at a time, I would say, get me the next row, apply the predicate, get me the next row, apply the predicate. Now, give me 1,000 rows and apply the predicate in one shot. So you can imagine we get order of magnitude better query performance by processing something in the batch mode. You see that, why it is happening? Okay, very critical, okay, I thought there was a question. Yeah. Say the same query?
Yeah, for the same query.
Right. That's right. Right. So you want to compare the performance, right?
Yeah.
Right. So we are seeing significant gains, and you are in luck. I have a demo to show exactly that. All right? Okay. Okay, so here is something I want to show you. Okay, sorry. This is not the demo I wanted to show you. I want to show you batch processing. So first batch processing, right? So here I have a, sorry? I put the wrong one. I made the same mistake last time too. So there you go. So here I want to run a query. This CCI test is a table on which I have created a cluster column sort index. Okay, so I'm going to show you the table. And it is a CCI test, and if I show you here, and if you look at the index, it says it's a cluster column sort index, right? This is the table. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to run a scan of this table, all right? This table has 11 million rows, large. It's not large from a data warehouse perspective, but it's sufficiently large, okay? I'm going to run this query. I'm going to first run this query. All right. Now here, I'm only interested in one column, right? Let me run it. And what you see is the query execution time of this one is around 0.2 seconds. 11 million rows, I'm just doing that, right? Okay, pretty efficient. For this, I have not done a comparison with regular row store. But what I wanted to show you was if my query was going to do all the columns, what is the performance? So notice something. Here, the number of logical reads that I did was 25,000 logical reads, okay? Now, if I do the same query, but I want to fetch a lot more columns, let me run that. And if you look at this one, I did a lot more logical IOs, right? And my query performance was more. It will take a lot more time to run that because now it is processing a lot more column. So the thing I wanted to show you by doing this was we are only fetching the columns and the pages that are needed, right? That's one. Second thing I want to show you a comparison. If I run the same query in row mode, so there's a row mode and there's a batch mode. If I was going to process a cluster column sort query one row at a time, versus I run the same query with the batch mode. What is the performance gain? We all expect performance gain, but we want to know what it is, right? So this is a demonstration to show that. So what I'm going to do here, this is a trace flag. What it does is a 9453 trace flag. It allows you to run the column store query if it is on in the row mode, even though we want to run in the batch mode, because we want to run everything in the batch mode. This is just a forcing function to show you what's going on, right? So I'm going to turn the IO statistics off because I'm more interested in the query performance time. So here, I'm running this very simple query, single table query, count star, and I'm going to group by date key, all right? 11 million rows. And I'm going to turn the query plan on because we want to see the plan. So I'm going to run this. And remember that it took 0.1 second to do this, all right? If I look at the execution plan, this is where I'm doing the scan of my cluster column store index, and I look at the properties. One thing to note is this is actually something you will, if you start using column store index, is very important. You see the word batch there. So what it is showing is it is executing this scan in batch mode, right? 900 rows, 1,000 rows, those are the rows that are coming in. And this is what you want to see. Okay, now what I'm going to do is, so remember the time of execution. I just want to make sure I didn't lose it, right? 0.1 second, right? 105 milliseconds. Other interesting thing is, notice the CPU time was 251 milliseconds and elapsed time was 105. Do you know why that would be the case? Because I'm running this in parallel, right? Because I have four CPU box, I'm running that query four way, so elapsed time is lower than the total CPU time, right? This is not surprising. So now what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna turn on, this is a typo here, turn off batch processing. So I'm gonna turn on this face flag to turn off batch processing. Does that make sense? Okay, so I turned off the batch processing. Same query, same table, same column store index. I'm gonna run this now. Did I not turn off? No, that doesn't matter. Sometimes when query runs slow, I feel happy. This is one example. I wanted it to run slow, right? To show the power of the batch processing. So I must not have turned the flag on. So you see what I did so far. By default, column store queries run in batch mode when possible. We are not running in batch mode in every possible case, but when possible. Now I forced the same query to run in the row mode, not in the batch mode, right? And if I look at the plan, a query time, remember previous one was 105 milliseconds. And this is 1015. So here, what I'm trying to show to you is same query is running 10 times slow because of row mode. Everybody got that? So that means what you want your queries to run in the batch mode. And just to tell you that I'm speaking a truth here, let me look at the execution plan. An execution plan, when I look at, it says row mode. All right? So the summary of this thing is, you get significant performance of query for two reasons. First of all, you're using fewer pages because of compression, and also you're running in batch mode to get better query performance, right? Very important. Let me just see if I have anything else in this demo. No, this is it, right? So I'm gonna go back to my presentation. So any questions so far? Okay, no. So what improvements we have done in SQL Server 2014? Notice, all these things are available in SQL 12, but we have gone beyond what we need to do in SQL 12. So let's just step back and see what we had in SQL 12. SQL 12 provided a non-cluster index on top of an OLTP. So let's say this, you do not want to run any OLTP workload. You just wanted to run your data warehouse workload. You create column index on it. Let's say you get 10x better compression, but you still have the table, right? If the table was taking 1 terabyte of storage and you created a column store index on it and got 100 gigabyte compression, your size is 1 terabyte plus 100 gigabyte, right? So yes, you did not get additional compression even though you did. And you did that because to run your data warehouse queries much, much faster, right? So that was one problem with the SQL 12 functionality. Second problem, which you may think it is unacceptable, but it was as soon as you created non-cluster column store index, the table became read-only. You could not make changes. Now, this works for customers because typical data warehouse queries are okay because they don't accept, there is no changes going on. And what people do is they load the data into row store. And for the today's, like suppose I have a daily partition. So I'm running, I'm loading the today's data into daily partition, so daily table. And then once my data is done, then I'm going to compress it because after one day, the data is not changing. So in that case, they need to create a union. So basically, they have a partition table, right? Daily partition, each partition is compressed column store in SQL 12. And then they have a different table, which is row store, where they're loading the data. You see what I'm saying? This is how they're doing it. So that was one big problem. And then you all saw the power of batch operation, right? So the number of batch operations where it was applicable in 12 was much less. In 14, we have removed some of those limitations because our ultimate goal is to run everything about data warehouse in batch mode, and you see why. So the goal that we had for SQL Server 2014 was to get competitive compression, because as I said, with non-cluster index, it was on top of what the size of the table was, right? So we wanted to get very competitive compression number. We wanted to get much, much better performance. And also we wanted to improve the creation of the index. So that was the goal. So what is a cluster column store index? First of all, it is a cluster index. Okay, it's a cluster index. That means you can get rid of your, you don't have to have your OLTP table on top of that you create a cluster column store index, right? You can just create a table like a heap, and you say, I'm going to create a cluster column store index on it, and that's the only copy you have. So like the example I was giving, 1 terabyte plus 100 gigabyte of column store, if you move that to SQL 14, what you get? 100 gigabyte, right? So suddenly your compression is very, very high, right? So that's what we got. Other thing is, because column store index, cluster column store index is so much more efficient, we believe you don't need any more indexes, okay? So that means you cut down the space of that. Not only that, I mean, as a DBA, if I don't have to worry about which indexes to create, my job is simplified, right? My job is simplified. I've seen in many data warehouse cases where people have page compression and they may have 5 indexes, 10 indexes, depending on what queries are being run. And worst of all, if suppose I give an ad hoc query for which you did not have an index, you have to create that index, right? With a cluster column store index, your job as a DBA is much more simplified. Right? There's a question. Sorry? When you say composite joins, means joining a row store table with a column store table?
More than one column.
That's fine. I mean, think of this, right?
There's some guidance in the white paper to say to try to avoid that.
Okay. So one of the things, let me do this. I think the question here is, if I'm using a column store table and I'm joining more than one column, there is some guidance in the white paper. Was that for SQL 12?
Yeah.
Okay. So I need to follow up on that. I actually am not aware of that restriction. Send me mail, I will respond to you. Okay, thank you. So here is a simple picture to show what the column compression is. So here, what I have is a table with customary indexing. What it means is I have my base row store table, which is not column store indexed, and there are multiple indexes that you're creating on top of it, right? Now, if I use page compression on that, I mean, some of you have been using page compression, we can compress 2x in this example. So that means from 20 gigabyte, it became around 10 gigabyte, right? That's a page compression. If I was going to look at a table with no indexing, I mean, there's no, just a heap, then the size is around 5 gigabyte, right? So what the key point is, the column store, cluster column store index, if you create on a heap, you are getting approximately, I think in this example, it was like going to 2 gigabyte, right? So the overall compressions that you got is you just have to compute what you would have had without, I mean, if you compare with page compression, right? This is approximately 10x compression that you're getting. Like page compression is around 11 gigabyte, and with the column store compression, you're getting around 2 gigabyte. And if you just compare, because that's what you need to compare, right? Because if I had a table, row store table, with the right amount of indexes for the total space, and now I'm going to go to the cluster column store index with no indexes at all, so this is what you get. So it's a huge amount of savings that you get. And it is a preferred scenario. This is our strong recommendation that if you have data warehouse queries, migrate to column store index. A cluster column store index. Now, what we have done is, as I said, we are improving the functionality. So we are in the 2012, when you created a non-cluster column store index, there were some restrictions on the type. So we have removed those restrictions. Unsupported types in SQL 14 are spatial data type, XML, and max data types. Those are the types we do not support. One of the comments we got from customers in SQL 14 tab program that we need to support the var max data type, data types. That is not supported yet, but that is something we are working on, and hope to get through that in the next release. No promises, but that kind of thing we don't have right now. And we have added new batch operators, like many operators that were running in row mode, we are adding to that, and the operators, those operators are running in batch mode with SQL Server 2014. And we support DDL operation. You can add columns, drop columns, stuff like that, which was not possible with SQL 12 because it was read-only. So the way the cluster column store is, it is updatable, which is actually a very important point, because in a typical data warehouse scenarios, you have the data that you want to query on, but new data is coming in. So what if new data as it is coming in, you can load into column store index, so your queries are seeing up to the minute data, right? That's the panacea, right? You want to be able to query up to the real time as the data is coming in. Other benefit of column store index is, when you have this kind of index, it takes away the necessity of creating cubes, because the performance is so much faster, there is no reason to create the cube, you can just query it. Of course, in the extreme examples, you may want to create the cubes, but column store index is trying to address the need in a very simplified way to manage, and you can query any query that you have for data warehouse in a very efficient way. So there was a question about the bulk load, and I want to address this point in this slide, right? So what happens is, if you want to do column compression, if I give you one row, do you think you can get better compression? One row store, one row column store is the same thing, because there is nothing to compress on, right? So what we found was, in our testing, that you need at least 100,000 rows, at least 100,000 rows to get a decent column compression. No, don't get me wrong, if I have 50,000 rows, I get column compression. But to get the right amount of compression, we are saying at minimum we need 100,000 rows, all right? Our sweet spot is 1 million, but 100,000 is what we are shooting for. Question?
So, in the one row scenario,
right. Correct. Right. Right. That's right. It's a great point. So first of all, we don't have one row compression, but I think key point being made is, if I was storing each column as its own segment, which is at most at least one 8K page, if I have a 16 column table, I'm taking 16 8K pages to store one row group. But as I said, we do not do one row group, but I think the point is absolutely correct. So the key point is, we want to compress 100,000 rows to 1 million rows together. Goal is to do 1 million rows, right? So what we have is a mix of column store and a row store. And that row store we call a delta store. So think of this as, right, as new rows are coming in, the delta store is a landing store. So it's like a row group that is growing, okay? And once that row group has 1 million rows, which is now I can compress into column store, it will transition from the row format to the column format, right? And then the next row group will begin. This is how we are doing it. So all inserts that are inserting into the column store index are first landing into a delta row group. And once that exceeds 1 million rows, we do in the background automatically compress that into the column store. Sounds good? Okay. Now, there are cases where the row group is smaller, but we should not get into that. But this is the basic idea. So once that 1 million limit is hit, there is a background task we call tuple mover. Tuple is another way to call a row. So it's basically what it is doing is, it says, okay, I got one delta row group, and I'm going to convert that into column compressed row group, right, with multiple segments. And so notice this, what happened here. These green rows were sitting, these were in row store. double mover comes and the delta rho group goes away and they become compressed column store, right? Now, when the copy is being done, which is an expensive operation, that rho that is available is through the delta rho group. So, imagine this, right? This copying is done, but that is being done in the background. Your queries are going to go through delta rho store. Once the copying is completely done, then it switches the rho group to say, instead of going to the rho group, which is delta rho group, go to the column based rho group, right? So, that's a metadata only operation. Give me just 1 second, right? So, here it compressed, right? So, now let me take the question. Yes. Yeah. Right. So think about this, right? So this is what I was saying. While the data rows are being moved from the delta store to the compressed store, that thing is happening in the background. Queries don't see that. Queries are still seeing the delta store. All right? So once the copying is done, compression is done, at that time we take a short duration metadata lock to say from now onwards those rows are in the compressed store, right? And when you do the query to column store index, the query in fact has no idea that data is in column store format or row store format. For that query, it is one giant table with multiple row groups. In this case, it happens to be one row group is a delta row group. That's right. That's right. The point I'm making is, for query, the delta row group is nothing but another row group. Okay, it's just that the query that is accessing just the delta row group will be running a little slower because it is not going to take advantage of column store, but it is fully available. Okay, there was a question in the back. Right. So just hang on. Question really is update. What about update? What about deletes? We handle all those cases, but it is optimized for data warehouse scenario, which is primarily reads and the inserts. So my actually in this slide only. Let me just go down a little bit. So we support as updatable column store. We support updates, delete, insert, all those operations, but it is optimized for insert because that's a very common case for data warehouse. Okay. Inserts always come to delta store, right? Now delete could happen anywhere. I could delete a row that was sitting in the compressed column store, or it could even be deleted in the row store. And what we do is once the column, when the row group is compressed, it is immutable. That means it cannot be changed. So we track independently which rows in a given row group, which is compressed row group, has been deleted. So what happens when we are doing the query? We filter those rows out, right? So we support insert operation and delete operation. An update is done, delete followed by an insert, right? And this is the point we were making. I think the question that you had about select unifies the data underneath from the compressed column store as well as from the row store, all right? Sorry? Right. So the question is that why do you have to reorg an index in a column store format? The only time you need to reorg is if you have a lot of deletes. So if you have a lot of deletes, so you can imagine this, right? You have these 1 million row compressed row groups, and then let's say I deleted 50% of the rows, right? So now those rows are not removed when you delete the row. So essentially, you are sitting with a lot of dead rows. So you need to do a rebuild of a column store index to remove those rows. When the rebuild is happening, the column store index is available for queries. Okay? It is just not available for updates, deletes, and inserts. So this is also important, even though it is offline, but it is available for querying. So that's the only time you have to rebuild. If you're using sliding window partition, then you are fine because then you are just rebuilding on one of the partitions. So this is actually an interesting point. Column store index supports partitioning, right? Just like it did for non-cluster column store index. Right. So the question, I'm glad you asked that question. Is there a DMV? Yes, in fact, it is not called DMV in SQL 14 for reasons I cannot explain. It is a catalog view. It's a catalog view. It has physical information. So what we are doing in SQL 15 or 16 or whatever it is exposing a lot more DMVs to have a lot of meaningful information. So you will see those changes in the next release. But yes, in fact, my demo will show that. So, yeah? Okay. I actually should have tried it. I believe Truncate is not supported. I don't know. Sorry about that. Yeah. It's not something I do on a daily basis, so I don't remember. So the tuple mover runs every few minutes automatically, okay? And it is one tuple mover per instance. And the reason we were running not like all the time, because tuple mover, number one, we don't want to take too much resources. We want to keep resources available for the query. The tuple mover is, not give it as preferential treatment as possible. But the problem with that one is if you're not running tuple mover very aggressively, you may have a lot of row groups of 1 million rows that are not yet compressed. So for that, what we provide is a way to manually compress. So I think there's a command called reorganize. So you run that command, it will force the compression of a delta row group into columnar compression. So you can do that, right? Other thing is the tuple mover, when it is compressing, suppose I have 5 row groups to compress, it will compress one row group, wait 15 seconds, then do the next one. Essentially, it is a self-throttling mechanism that we have for tuple mover. And if you have aggressive need, you can, as I said, you can do reorganize. Okay. Now, amount of compression that we got, so you have this is something you all must know, none row and page compression. So now we have a column store compression, which is what we are just talking about. We, in fact, provide you even a higher level of compression for column store, which is called column store archive. That you typically do for those, it is done at a partition level. So suppose I have a partition column store table. There are partitions that are, say, from 2002. You don't access that much, but you want it to be online. You can choose to do archive compression. Archive compression gives you 30% on top of what column compression gives, okay? So very important. So we have gotten, benchmark TPCH, we got 3.1x compression on the raw data file. But with customers, we are seeing much, much different compression because that's more realistic from a workload perspective. In terms of the batch mode, as I said, this is something we saw in the query plan. You want to see batch mode for most of your operators that are accessing queries, right? So we have done improved the hash join spilling aspect for the batch mode. We have added new batch mode operators. And what we now provide is a mixed mode execution. So what used to happen is you're executing in batch mode, and then you hit an operator that is row mode. Anything above that, even though it could be executed in the batch mode, but since we got the row mode here, it became row mode. So now we provide mix and match. So that means more of your query plans will take advantage of batch mode when possible, right? Okay, this is the query performance, and I'm going to show you a few numbers, very important. So we actually have a very generic data warehouse workload, and some of you can guess what this workload is, but I cannot tell you that. So depending on the query, not every query will get the same performance benefits, right? So here, what you're seeing is some queries are running 300 times faster, some queries are running 3.5 times faster, some queries are like 1.7 times faster. It depends on the query, right? So suppose I've run a query, I say select from this table where predicate is XYZ, and let's say only one row satisfies. Guess what? Which you think it will be better to run that in a B-tree or column store index? It is better to run that in a B-tree because I have a B-tree index which can directly go to that page, pick up the row, I'm done. With column store, at minimum, you have to scan one segment of a one row group, right? So there are queries that will run faster in the B-tree, and of course, amount of data that you are accessing, the query performance depends on that. So that's why I see wide variation. So the way to look at it is not how fast this query runs, how fast my overall data warehouse workload is running after enabling column store compression. Everybody is okay with that point, right? Because the mileage depends on the data and, of course, the kind of query you have. Now, this is something that is very exciting for us. I don't know how many of you will feel that excitement. We are number one. We're number one in TPCH workload with cluster column store index. So this is a, thanks for the excitement. So this is number one. This is on 4.15, the day we released SQL Server 2014. This was one of our big news items. We are number one on 3 terabyte and 10 terabyte database across all vendors using cluster column store index. So the point I'm making is this is our top dog functionality for data warehouse. In fact, some of you have heard about PDW, which is our appliance. Appliance uses cluster column store index. Okay? So this is a basic building block. And so query performance, but at what cost, right? I mean, cost is there. We are the lowest. If you look at the right graph, the smaller the box is, the better you are, right? On the left, the higher you are, the better you are, right? The cost is the lower. So we give you the lowest cost, highest performance. I mean, you can't beat that. Okay. So now, this is something, if you have not used column store index, you will not appreciate as much, but I wanted to show you this one. So one of the problem is, like cluster column store index has no keys, okay? It's a non-intuitive thing. Hey, you have an index without a key? Cluster column store index has no keys. It's like a heap stored in compressed column format. Okay? Now, the question is, sometimes people want to have a requirement to have a unique constraint. I want to make sure that uniqueness is satisfied. So what you can do to do that is create a materialized view on top of cluster column store index. Okay? So this is the syntax you have in this example. You have a table. This is T account table. Assume that it is column compressed. You can create a unique cluster index on this thing. And now, when you insert rows into your delta store and uniqueness is violated, it will catch that. Okay? This is one way to enforce uniqueness. Now, other thing is, sometimes people have a table with cluster column store index with, say, 100 columns. I'm just making it up, 100 columns, right? And now you have a query, which is, I want to pick up rows, only few rows, and 2 or 3 columns, right? Well, the choice is either go to the B-tree or cluster column store index, right? But now, if I create a non-cluster index on top of this materialized view, I can run those queries on that, right? So basically, by using a materialized view, you have the benefit of cluster column store index for large queries, and for the short queries, it is this, right? The key requirement is the materialized view must have the columns that you need. Now, in the worst case, if you need all the columns and you create the materialized view on including all the columns, then all the benefits of compression are gone, right? Because materialized view is being stored in a row format, right? So it's only useful for enforcing uniqueness constraints, or if you have queries that are very narrow, which are picking only very few columns, and they don't need to scan the whole range of tables, right? Because you want to get short range queries, equality queries, you may want to create a materialized view, right? When you create that, that means any inserts you're doing, because it is materialized view, you will hit the performance because that view has to be kept up to date. And then, query, this is, okay, the concurrency is a very important thing. So one thing is that the column store, cluster column store index does not support or does not honor snapshot isolation or read committed snapshot. What it means is that if I was going to run in a database that has been enabled for read committed snapshot and I say, select star from column store index table, I will get blocking. It uses locking to run that query. Okay. So most customers, in fact, PDW only supports queries under read uncommitted because there is no blocking. Now, this is something we don't have in 2014, and this is something we are working on. Second thing that we did to get higher performance, because data warehouse queries are mostly read-only, we don't take logs at a row level. We take a log at a row group level, okay? So that means if I'm taking log at a row group level, I'm of course getting very coarse granularity of the log, which impedes the concurrency, but you get better performance, right? So locking is at the row group level. It's for insert, insert it is not. This is actually very interesting. We wanted to optimize for insert, so it is possible, like multiple inserters are inserting into the column store index, all landing into the column delta row group, right? Delta row group, those don't block each other. But the locking otherwise, like for updates and deletes, is taken at the row group level. And I have a demo to show that. So there was a question about the DMVs. There are three catalog views which contain both the meta information as well as the physical information. The first one, column store row group, it can tell you for this column store index what are the row groups you have, how many rows you have, how many rows are deleted, and so on and so forth. And you can read through this one. Then we have segments. It can tell you for each column segment what is the min value, what is the max value. You can figure out what is going on there. And there are dictionaries. Dictionaries I do not want to spend as much time on. Dictionary is very useful when you have string columns in your column store index table. Strings you create a dictionary, so you have to store in the string only once, right? Because, right, I just saw once and I just have index into that. So that's what we do. With that, I have 15 minutes left. Let me just go to my demo, this one. Okay, go here. You see it? Okay. So now the next thing I want to show you is the concurrency thing. And I also wanted to show, there was a question about the performance of the query with and without column store index. So let me try that. Batch processing concurrency, okay. Okay, so this is comparing cluster in B-tree index and, okay, so here what I have is, I essentially have the same table, CCI test and CI test. Essentially, these two tables have 11 million rows. One is based on B-tree, one is based on cluster column store index, okay? So I'm gonna run this on this database. I need to have the time statistics on, which I think it is on. So I'm gonna run first this count star query just to show you how many rows I got. I got 11.4 million rows, right? So it's a big table. And let me say, it did not run the stats. Let me just put the set time on. It is important to see what the time it took, right? I'm running this and I'm gonna come back here. So now you see, this thing took 166 milliseconds, right, to just do the count star. And I'm gonna do the same query with column B-tree. So it is running, and notice it took 1351. So from one, it's almost 10x faster, the query performance of the same data. so that's one. And of course, depending on the more complex queries, you will see different results, but this is important. Now, other thing is, I want to show you the space used. Same table, same data. One is in column store index, one is in B-tree, and do the space, right? Here you see the space taken is around 569 megabytes, right? It is, you see that? And here it is around 6.5 gigabyte. So the space savings that I got for my data is 10 times better than what it is in the row store. Okay. Now, I also can show you a more complex query. I'm running this count star with group by date key. Here it is taking 768 milliseconds with column store index. And if I run the same query with B-tree, what happened here? I'm gonna run it. Okay.
what happened? It took longer. Let me just go back here. 765. Let me make sure I have not, I've turned the taste flag on, because I just want to see what the query plan looks like right now. I'm going to enable the query plan because maybe the batch processing is off. So see, notice my performance was not as good because it was executing in a row mode, right? So I'm going to reverse that trace flag and batch processing. Let me just get that guy going. I need to turn that trace flag off, right? So let me turn that trace flag off. Okay, I'm going to come back to my this guy, and I'm going to run this query again. Still running. What did I do wrong? Hold on. Okay, I'm just going to take one more second. If I don't figure this out, it is running in row mode. I'm just wondering why it is so. Copy here. Maybe it is not session level. I go back here. Okay. Okay. Sorry? No, I think it is, has to execute in the batch mode. Let me try this. I think I'm maybe reversing my. Okay. So excuse me on this one, but I think the query performance is much faster. I don't know what's going on here. So I'm going to go back to off mode because I believe that's the right one. So I'm going to stay with this one, okay? Now, the thing that I want to show you about the concurrency, and it is important to see that. So first of all, I want to show you the row groups. This is my big 11 billion row table. I did the catalog view, and notice I'm seeing like 13 row groups here, right? Each row group of 1 million rows, mostly 1 million rows, and there are 4 row groups that are less than 1 million. You know why that happened? Because when I created my cluster column store index, I was running with 4 degree of parallelism. So last 4 threads started running, and there were no more rows, so whatever rows they could get became the compressed column store, right? So this is why you see a little bit less. So that's the row group. And if I show you the row group for my a T account table, which is just I created, in this case, it has no rows in it because I have not compressed it yet, which is fine. Now, I think I have only 6 minutes left, so I'm going to skip this demo and go to my slides and walk you through the rest of the stuff. So what the demo that I skipped was the materialized view. So I was going to create a materialized view on top of a column store index, and I'm going to insert a row that violates the uniqueness constraint, and it will cache that. So that's the demo I skipped. So now, column store index is on high availability, right? It is like any other table. So when you do backup and restore, it just works. There is no change from a customer perspective. Failover clustering just works because it's just like another table. Always on is fully supported, except this is something we don't have. You cannot offload a data warehouse workload to readable secondary if it is querying the cluster column store index. And the reason is because we do not support snapshot isolation right now. So you cannot offload your data warehouse queries on cluster column store index on the readable secondary. Index rebuild, we touched upon that point. The DBCC does a lot of checking, and this is the list of checkings that we do as part of DBCC to make sure the sanity of your cluster column store is up to date. These are the T-SQL commands. You can create a cluster column store index on a heap. You can even create cluster column store index on a existing cluster index by drop existing. And this is actually, I want to say why it is important. Imagine this, right? If I have a
common predicate on date key. Say common predicate. What I want is, I want my column store index to be sorted on that key, because when I'm doing my segment elimination, I only get to go to one segment, right? So what you do is, you first create a cluster column store index on date key, and then you drop existing and you create the cluster column store index. So now, existing data is all sorted. Of course, the new data that comes in is not sorted, but this is the trick people do to get a better performance. You can rebuild the index, and you can reorganize. We talked about this command force or do the job of a tuple mover on your own. This demo I have to skip. This demo, in fact, I will put all the scripts in the thing. What this demo was showing you was how to create cluster column store index, stuff like that. Very simple demos, but the key point is whatever T-SQL I listed above, I was just trying to demo those T-SQL index, T-SQL. So in summary, what I want to make sure that you walk away with is the cluster column store index is ideally suited for your data warehouse workload. We have the industry-leading performance, industry-leading low cost. So you get both the benefit of high performance and low cost. And it is updatable. That means while you have the queries running, you can still keep inserting the data. As data comes in, your queries will see that, right? It's a huge, huge value proposition for us. We have many tools to troubleshoot. And the most important thing is we are continuing to invest in this technology. So the next release of SQL Server, you will see even much richer thing. And that's where I think you guys come in a very strong way for us. If you have scenarios which are very compelling, which you believe we should do it, send mail to me. I mean, I would do my best to get those things into the next release of SQL Server. And please don't forget to submit the reviews, the comments you have, because only with your comments we can improve our presentations going forward. Thank you so much, and have a safe flight back home. Take care. Thank you so much.